We're not planning to make this in general a podcast about current events, basically because given our lives, we really don't think we can keep up with current events.
Yeah, no.
And there's a comment that I want to quote, a computer scientist, Donald Knuth, replies to emails only like semi-annually.
Right.
And when he explains this, he says, "It's not my job to stay on top of things. It's my job to get to the bottom of things,"
Yeah.
because he's literally, inventing computer science, and that's and writing the most comprehensive textbook on algorithms ever anyone's ever worked on. That's been his life's work. And so, I don't claim to be Don Knuth, but I do try to get to the bottom of things, and we can't like surf the news.
Right. No, it's a crazy maker and all these other things, right? But also, in that same vein, I feel like we want to be more concerned with what's at the root of things.
So, in that vein, we actually do want to talk about some current event items today. We only have about a half hour to record right now,
So
and
we're going to
that's
do it.
it for the weekend. So we're just going to wing it. And I'm going to put it out there, and we're going to call this, I don't know, a
Special event.
special event podcast. Anyway,
Yeah.
so go.
Hey. So this is no notes. I'm just shooting from the hip. Something happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, on Friday evening and Saturday morning in the early hours. There is a rally, and protesters were killed, at least one, by a car driving high speed into the protesters. And there's a lot of hue and cry online, in the news, and conversation about this, and gnashing of teeth and gritting of teeth. And the one message I see over and over again is that this is somehow happening because Donald Trump was elected. And I think the most important thing I want to say right now to anyone who will listen and hear, this isn't happening because Donald Trump was elected. Donald Trump was elected because this is happening. It's been happening for a long time. And we've been looking the other way.
So can you unpack that a little bit? What is the this?
The radicalization of poor, largely white, rural men.
So what I had been thinking about all this, about the men who are marching, is that they have been radicalized in exactly the same way as, say, ISIS
It's
members
identical.
have been radicalized. ISIS volunteers, they have.
Okay, the volunteers,
So, ISIS and these groups, they have their radical clerics that promote this agenda, and
And these neo-Nazis and white supremacists and Klan members have theirs.
they have Richard Spencer, who promotes on his website the idea of basically
Don't say his name.
ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, don't say his name. Don't advertise him here.
All right.
Good deal.
Anyway, but literally killing black folks and wants to discuss what's the most efficient way to get that done.
And, make themselves a safe space.
Make themselves a safe space where they're free of.
Free of incursions.
So, and they have also, I'll say it, Fox News, and there that's been around long enough that a whole generation of kids have grown up inside the hermetic bubble of
Yeah.
conservative talk radio, hate radio, other media. And I'm also going to link it to like the red pill men's rights folks, the anti-PC folks, call them what's the I keep forgetting the term.
The Detroit right wings.
Well, why don't you say something about that? Because I didn't see
So there
information
was a
about
group
that.
there that had they had misappropriated the Red Wings, the hockey team, their logo, which is a wheel, because it's the Motor City.
Yeah,
and
with
a red,
wings.
With wings, with a red wing on it, because there's a bird here called a red-winged blackbird.
Uh-huh.
And our hockey team is called the Detroit Red Wings. Well, the Detroit Right Wings put a swastika inside that circle that's a wheel,
mm-hmm.
and had these posters at this rally in March. And it's well, you know, it's trademark infringement, but they really identify that this place and these things are their things. It's their place.
So what was the like immediate trigger of this march? This
There was no specific trigger for this march, except that they are and have been organizing for a long time and feel safe to be in public.
Were they organizing around, in part, this plan to remove Confederate monuments?
Oh, that's something going on, yes. I mean, okay. I'm not, again, I'm not really abreast of current events.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps there was some messaging around that. And there's lots of conversation around the removal of Confederate monuments right now.
Yeah.
That's happening. But I don't know that this rally and this march was that. This rally and this march is part of a larger movement that has been present for decades and decades and decades. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of shifted and changed its direction and course.
So what you see, I think, in this sort of radicalization all over the world among young men is men who basically don't have any prospects for having the future they imagined or hoped.
Yeah, it's gone.
And I don't think these guys are these. I mean, it's not exactly the same because these guys aren't like literally starving or fighting to be able to afford bread or whatnot.
Not necessarily.
But they are, they have seen their prospects diminish, their prospects for employment, their prospects for marriage. On the sort of...
Any of the dignity that their fathers might have enjoyed is not available to them. Or
they think it's not.
Or they think it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, both of those things are happening in there.
I think it's tied up with this whole, very strongly tied up with this white fragility and a lot of rhetoric about how unfairly they've been treated, even though in many cases they're extremely privileged people.
In many cases, in many ways.
And you see this, the phrase I was trying to come up with is incel. It means involuntary celibate. And it's part of like the red pill men's rights things where...
If I could just be a rapist, I wouldn't be celibate like this.
They think they're entitled to sex with women, and because they're involuntarily celibate, they feel that somehow their rights have been violated.
Oh.
And they sublimate that energy.
That energy and rage, yeah.
Not to go like hike the Appalachian Trail.
Or join a monastery.
Or build trail or... You know, or go volunteer for the Peace Corps or whatever people used to do. I don't know.
Yeah, there's lots of things people used to do, and we don't do that anymore. Now we really are engaging total war on all fronts. And so on the one hand, I think fundamentally, really, we've got a mixed marriage in terms of our political values, because there's also the other side of that coin. The Fox News coin and the this convergence of movements is the rest of sort of liberal culture and media actively looking the other way and taking no action. My favorite meme that I've seen going through social media around this particular incident in Charlotte or in North, I keep trying to say North Carolina, but no, in at the University of Virginia. I'm
right.
There's a photo of people mourning and protesting Mike Brown's death in Ferguson, Missouri, and the National Guard is there, armed to the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
literal Nazis and white supremacists are holding a rally with torches.
Yeah.
The cops aren't even there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there to tell people, like, stay safe.
Yeah.
And effectively to prevent people from attacking the Nazis and white supremacists. But they weren't there to protect the people protesting Mike Brown's death.
No.
And the fact that these organizations still exist in their form, that's white liberal America's thing.
Which organizations?
Police organizations, the National Guard, exist as they are. In other words, they can continue to do this. They can continue to kill black people.
They can continue to
protect white supremacists.
Preferentially. And, yeah. Yeah.
And
that's enabled by the liberal class.
The liberal class. Yeah. They're completely enabled by that. Because if the liberal class said no, it would be different.
Well, it strikes me as, you know, I mean, we're so tone deaf and so clueless in many parts of the country, in the blue parts of the country, you know, about what's going on, that apparently HBO was planning to run a show about a modern day
Confederacy.
Yes. So when I saw these, when I heard what was happening, I immediately tweeted, wow, this HBO show kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it's hard to imagine how people, you know, like educated liberals could think, oh, would that be a great material for a drama?
Would that be an interesting show?
Yeah.
What the hell about that is interesting to you? Really?
It may be interesting to some of you, but you should maybe ask yourself why that's so interesting.
Yeah, why you find that fascinating?
When such a large portion of the population says, this is really, really troubling and really offensive to make entertainment out of my family history, you know.
And just absurd and strange.
Yeah.
So this idea that, oh my goodness, this isn't our America. Oh, dear.
Sweet summer child.
My sweet summer child. What America have you been living in?
It's all the folks who were shocked to see Trump actually elected.
This is all it's ever been.
Yeah.
And this idea that there was some thing, some one thing, if you'd just done this one thing, things would be different.
Right.
No, this is the last 40 years. This is the last 60 years.
Right, right. I keep, you know, when I see people like talking about impeachment and talking about, you know, Article 25, and I keep thinking to the scene. Do you remember there's a scene in The Lord of the Rings when Denethor has finally sort of lost his mind completely and is running around saying, we're doomed, run, you know. And
flee for your lives.
You know, flee for your lives. And Gandalf comes up behind him with his staff and just sort of
poofs him in the head.
And like, he has this expression on his face like, let's scrape that shit off our shoes. Jesus Christ.
Come on, move on.
Done with this.
Right.
Thank God. You know, and I imagine that everyone in a blue city,
a blue bubble,
believes that at some point Trump is going to say or do something, and Gandalf is going to show up, and this will be like the last straw. This will be beyond the pale.
This time
it'll be finally beyond the pale, and someone's going to do something, and it'll be Gandalf who whacked him in the back of the head with the staff and, you know, knocked him out so he could start giving orders to turn the ship of state around because
things are out of control.
Because things are out of control because Mordor is invading.
And what I think they don't realize in context, because the folks shouting about civics lessons haven't boned up on this, that means either a coup or Pence.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the two options.
Right. Right. So
you want to go there.
It's not so great.
Right. Hey, let's go there. We've ridden it this far. Okay, guys.
Pence would at least at least not be quite so blatant about his
which is what I think they're really concerned about.
It's really the appearance. It's really the image.
Because this is all just so embarrassing.
The optics for liberals, right?
Yeah. I mean, did you hear what he said? It was embarrassing.
So, but I mean, it is embarrassing, and it's constantly disturbing. So, That's really what's wearing people down.
I suppose. I guess I'm not even worn down, or I'm only mildly fazed by it even. Haven't you been embarrassed your entire adult life?
That's the difference. And that's what people don't understand, is that you're used to everyone in government constantly just rubbing you raw. Especially the presidency. The
presidency.
You know, that... And the injustice is just on full naked display for you.
Right. I mean,
for people who grew up, you know, white and privileged, and they're used to, those people are doing what's good for me.
How wonderful that is.
They're doing a good job for me. And it's different.
That's the question. Feeling. The question of so, at the expense of whom.
I mean, you were radicalized, you know, on the breast, I think.
Likely so.
Yeah, given your family background. And to me, radicalization is like it's ongoing and it sort of comes in waves, you know.
Right.
And, you know, so I've got lots to talk about on that, but I'm not going to talk about it today.
Right.
On, you know, how do you feel about capitalism, you know? But
just asking.
Because I've got a lot to unpack and talk about. I have an answer to one of my friends I want to write out.
Mm-hmm.
But, Trump's speech in response to this.
Was this Orwellian?
Was this pathetic, you know, like both sides, both sides. Well, it was just both-siderism. I condemn violence. He didn't even say both sides. In other words, he can't even say both sides, which is sort of the standard, you know, that's Driftglass's thing, is that everyone in the media just says when someone, you know, when Republicans are behaving badly, their first words out of their mouths is
both sides.
But the Democrats, but what about on the other side? You know, actually both sides are whatever. Trump didn't even bother using that phrase. He said, condemn violence on all sides, as if it was a melee.
A melee.
You know, well, there were at least five groups, you know.
Just going at it. It was bizarre.
It was the battle of the five armies from The Hobbit, right? You know, well, you know, I just condemn violence in general. It was so passive and colorblind and blind to the events that I honestly believe that he went through a file cabinet and was looking at, like, you know how Richard Nixon had a speech written, which was in the event that a crew was lost on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
There was a speech, I guess Sapphire wrote it.
Right.
And it was like unclassified or something a few years ago. You could read what the speech would have said.
Right.
I believe he went through a file cabinet and pulled out one of like Nixon's, in the event of unrest, civil unrest.
Read this.
And it was not that long, but it was just like, condemn violence on all sides. We all have to get along. And then something about what's important now is to get back to law and order. Like,
right on, sir.
Yep, you go, buddy.
Yeah, law and order it is. Like martial law, what do you think?
No context. No context at all. Nothing connected to the context. So it's just this like generic thing from the file cabinet.
Right. But if you want to talk about context and you want to think about this in context, we can't just talk about the events that day in that place.
Of course not.
Because people are apoplectic. This guy drove into a crowd and injured dozens, killed at least one. I read a report that three were dead. I have not seen a confirmation.
I haven't. I mean, that's the thing. It's still like...
still unfolding.
It's still very much unfolding. And so I don't have a lot of detail about the groups, the events, the people involved.
But I tell you, when I posted that several state legislatures were making it legal to do so.
Right. To kill protesters with your car.
I don't think anyone said anything except to say, well, you know, they shouldn't be in the street.
Yeah. I got a lot of pushback like that as well.
But don't talk to me about,
even
where did this come from?
Even my Facebook friends who live in Virginia are like, well, you know, that seems perfectly reasonable to me.
Reasonable, like, you know, if you know, you're protesting and someone runs into you with a car, that's not a protected First Amendment right or anything. It's only reasonable.
Right.
So, I mean, I suppose if the state runs you over, then it would be a violation of your First Amendment rights, right?
Civil rights.
Yeah.
I mean, if the state killed you in a protest,
Then that's a violation, yes.
Yeah, they could be found guilty in a civil trial or something. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
But no, it's the antithesis of anything that anyone would say if someone had driven a car into the rally itself.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
And the fact that we can't... The fact that we can't have a rational conversation about, you know, it's not okay to kill people.
It's not okay to kill people with your car or otherwise, even if they are blocking your
traffic, street. Right. Even if they are terrifying you by being brown. Even if they are, I don't even care what it is.
Yeah. It wasn't okay to beat people with torches, even though they were just these bizarre, like, tiki torches from Home Depot or something.
Which, you know, this is funny. This is so emblematic. This is so emblematic of this group as this radicalized group, right? So much of it. I mean, yes, I don't really think that the Confederate monument is tipping this off exactly. It's the thing that's happening now, right?
Uh-huh.
Much like the response to Mike Brown's death was about more than Mike Brown.
Of course.
Right? Okay. So,
but yet you have been, well, if he had only done this and complied with police, you know.
Because then, you know, nothing would happen to you.
Because nothing ever happens except, you know.
Except what's supposed to happen. So they're marching with tiki torches because they're on sale now. It's the end of summer. They're cheap. Home Depot and all the places are like basically shoved about the door for $1 a piece. So like even the instrument, like it's really this, this rabble. And I don't want to give them the veneer of the innocence of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these guys are fairly well off.
Yeah. That's what struck me. I mean, if they're college students, many of them are paid for, you know, but I don't know. I haven't seen like details about the identities of these people.
Their individual identities and or the specific demographics.
The demographic, yeah. But so I'm mostly talking about what I suspect and not what I know for sure, which is maybe unfair. But like we said, we're not a current events podcast.
It's about the roots. And at its roots, the reason they are able to have a public voice is the way that poverty can radicalize people. And really, it radicalizes you and you lean one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're on the Antifa team.
Right.
Or you're on the other team.
And the classic thing that goes on is people use the media to manipulate people to not have solidarity with each other.
To not have solidarity with each other.
Right. If you're poor, well, there must be someone out there whose fault it is, who's also poor.
Who's also poor, who took it from you.
Or if you've lost social ground or class status or whatnot.
It's because someone's taken it from you.
And it's like, look, that guy over there is picking your pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, and the thing, this is the thing that's so bizarre to me, or so... it's funny to me just how deeply clueless Americans are about class and class consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do get it. We circulate that other special meme, the one where the capitalist and the union guy and the immigrant have a plate of cookies.
Oh, right. Hey, that guy's trying to steal your cookie.
That guy's trying to steal your cookie. Yeah. And we all laugh.
Yeah.
And we all get the joke.
Yeah. We know it's there.
We know it's there. We know that the guy in the ruling class or the millionaire or the whomever it is, the billionaire, is the guy taking most of the cookies and leaving one cookie for the immigrant and the union guy to fight over.
Yeah.
But somehow we don't comprehend or we're not able to grasp that we've been set up this dynamic between, this racial dynamic between whites, poor whites, and non-whites immigrants, the sort of underclass of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, the ruling class takes everything except this little bit of scrap and says, hey, watch out for that nigger. He's going to take your stuff.
He's going to take your stuff.
And that's all the stuff there is.
He's going to take your scraps.
He's going to take your scraps. And you think it's... And really, we all know it's not actually a zero-sum game, especially in terms of money. In terms of actual resources, it's a zero-sum game. But in terms of money, there's no zero-sum game here.
Right.
That's the first lie. But the deeper lie is that the ruling class is holding on to it all, letting a little bit out at a time, and then goading people to fight over it, rather than ever look at and notice them and what they're doing.
The last thing they want to see is solidarity between the members of the 90-something, 99%.
for God's sake, solidarity between the bottom 20% would be enough.
Yeah, would be enough to...
would be enough to really change things on a fundamental level.
Yeah.
And not to just completely drift into everything we want to talk about all the time, but just to bring it home to this, if there's anything to learn, if there's anything to take away, if there's anything to grasp, is to stop talking about how this isn't your country. You need to know this is all your country has ever been.
Right, right. I wanna point out one more thing, which makes me actually slightly optimistic, and not, like I said, only slightly.
Only slightly.
But that is that, you know, it's always been this rhetoric about, you know, this flag means heritage, not hate, right?
Hmm.
But in this rally, you had people literally carrying swastikas next to Confederate flags and wearing swastikas while carrying Confederate flags.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's the context of blood and soil?
Oh.
Is that a translation from the German?
It's a translation from the German. And the larger idea, I'm going to miss some things I haven't read about it recently, but the larger idea, the umbrella idea, is that the soil belongs to the people who are here, people
uh-huh.
indigenous.
Uh-huh.
And other people can't come here and supplant us. That, number one, our blood rises from the soil,
yeah.
and we'll spill our blood and yours to keep it and protect it.
To protect the soil.
Yeah.
But I think this does us a favor in a way, and maybe gives some meaning to the deaths and injuries, because it's ripped the mask off.
I hope so.
And that's what, I mean, there will always be people who won't see what's right in front of their faces. But this may rip the mask off for some people.
I hope so.
Who have been a little bit on the fence. That's my hope as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I do want to bring up one more thing. We don't have a lot of time. How are we doing?
Oh, I don't know. Let me check the ubiquitous phone.
We'll edit this out.
Oh, 428.
428.
Yep.
Okay. I think we're going to need to wind up there. I did want to talk a little bit about the situation with North Korea, but so I'll just make one comment and we'll close. And that is that what I see happening with Trump and North Korea and all these tweets and rhetoric flying back and forth is not pushing us actually towards a preemptive nuclear war with North Korea.
That's wrong, by the way. But carry on.
Which doesn't even make sense, yeah. The idea that we'll have a nuclear war with North Korea. What it's pushing us towards is a military coup.
It's setting the stage for a military coup, yes.
It's setting the stage for a military coup in which Trump is playing Nixon's madman theory. And
the madman!
And it's so bellicose that...
Something
if he did make
done.
This order, I'd honestly believe that the professional military would not carry it out.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, so we're going to wind up, and I'll try to get this out as a special, you know, miniature edition, and we'll come up with a name for how we're going to do this for a current events.
Yeah.
Current events episode. All right. See you all later.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Bye.